gave my testimony. My testimony is kind of long. I would like to start off with how God has led my life. I've always been one of those people who think that I've never seen any miracles, and that God, even though he's there, that he's never really guiding me in my life. I was born in Christ. My mom was a believer, and my grandmother was a believer, but my dad's family was Buddhist, so he was not a believer. So ever since we were little, we weren't allowed to baptize because my dad wanted us to make our own decision and not to be influenced by my mother only. But my mother's very, even though she did not know the truth much, she always learned from my grandmother, who was a very devout Christian, that she must always bring us to church. So every Sabbath, she would take us on the bus. At that time, I lived in Taiwan. And she'd take the bus and take my sister and I to church. I didn't learn a lot in church in Taiwan. All I remember was the RE classes where we cut and paste, like, we just, like, cut pictures and we pasted them. I didn't know any Bible stories, and I just didn't feel like I learned anything. But once at school, my sister and I, we always walk to and from school when we were in elementary school, because both my parents worked. And one day afternoon when we were going to walk home, it was raining really, really hard. But we didn't have umbrellas, so we were thinking, oh no, now we can't walk home, or else we'll get all wet. And so we thought we should pray to God, so both of us just kind of, you know, like, stood there and prayed to God and said, God, can you please just stop the rain for just a little bit so we can walk home? And right after we finished praying, the rain really did stop, and we, like, both hurried home. And when my mom came home, we were so excited. We told her, do you know that God stopped rain for us? And then my mom, she just kind of chuckled. But at that time, we didn't know the story of Elijah. So we weren't really like, oh, Elijah stopped rain, so we can stop rain too. We just didn't know anything. We were little. I was like 5. So we just prayed for God to stop the rain. Even though at that time, it didn't seem like a miracle, but it was just the beginning of God's grace in my life. When I was born, my parents decided that to immigrate to the United States, so we had to fill out this application thing that they did. And we waited for 7 years to get our green card, and then that's why I came when I was 7. My sister was 10. And so my whole family moved to Dallas because a lot of my relatives are there. My cousins have two aunts who live there. So at that time, it was a very big transition point in my life, because in Taiwan, I had a nanny who took care of me because my parents were always at work, and she took care, and she spoiled me so much. Like, whatever I wanted, I could get. There's just nothing that she wouldn't do for me. And she had 3 children, and they also spoiled me to death too. So I grew up having everything. And then when I had to come to the United States, I was actually really sad because I didn't want to leave because everything was so wonderful. But I didn't know the will of God. So when I came here, I was just a very proud person because I didn't know what it was like. I didn't know what it's like to not have anything. So if I see something that I don't like, I'll just, like, you know, I'll be like, oh, you know, look at that person. They're so, you know, whatever. And that's just my mindset when I was very young. And I took that mindset with me all through elementary. I didn't change any, even though I was a very quiet person back then. But in my heart, it was just very selfish, and I was very spoiled, and I was very proud. So my dad, we moved here in 1989, which is about 11 years ago. And my dad, because he moved here, so he has to find a job. And because he wanted to find a good job to support our family, he went to study at the university. And so at that time, my mom had to work to support our family. And she didn't know any English. None of us knew any English. So it was very, by the grace of God, she found a job that was a Chinese-speaking job, working for a fabric company. And my dad pursued a degree in computer science. And after he finished his degree in 1994, he went to look for a job, but because his English was so poor that he couldn't find a job here, so he was forced to go back to Taiwan to work. And at that time, I felt like I mean, God let us move to the United States. How can he separate our family? If it's his will, then why is our family separated? Why is it, could this be God's will? But because my dad is, God knew that my dad was not a believer, and he was a very headstrong person. He's pretty stubborn. And, so he knew that if my dad were to stay in the States, that we will receive a lot of opposition for going to church. So by bringing my dad back to Taiwan, my mom and my sister and I could grow faster in faith. And my mom became very devout in the States. She told me that when she first came to the United States, she told me that when she was in Taiwan, she didn't learn anything either. She would listen, and she would not understand anything that the preacher was saying. Like, she just didn't understand, even though she always went to church since she was a kid, but she did not understand what the preacher, or the truth, or the Bible, or Jesus Christ, or anything. She just knew that there was a God. So when she came to the United States, that's when she really came in contact with who God is, and she became a very devout person. Because I've always been really sad because my dad wasn't here with us, and all the other kids, they would have their dads to help them do their math homework or something like that, and I always had to do it by myself. And all the letters that the school sent back to, sent to us, I had to read and I had to translate it to my mom and ask her to sign on the line. Like, it's just that I felt like, you know, my dad wasn't here for me. But God knew my heart, and that's why he put me in Dallas where my relatives could take care of me. So they can always help us out when something goes wrong. So in God's plan, it's always perfect. Like, there's never anything you lack. He always thinks of everything for you, even though you think that, it's not fair or something. This can't be God's will because this is not perfect like you think it is. But ultimately, God thinks of everything that you need. So I grew up being selfish and proud, and because I've always done pretty well in school, at least up to elementary school. And I learned English, and it was not very difficult because I came when I was in second grade. So one day God decided to teach me a lesson to let me know, you are nothing. You're just dust. You don't deserve to be proud. You don't deserve to have all that you have, and you don't know how to give thanks. And so one night when I was 14 years old, it was in eighth grade, October 1986, I had this dream. I dreamed that I was in the chapel, and in the front, right here, there was a coffin, and I knew I was attending a funeral. So I was like, I'm attending a funeral. And I walked up, because I didn't know who laid inside the coffin, so I was very curious. So I walked up to the front, and I looked in, and I was so surprised because the person in there was myself. And I thought to myself, oh no, this is really bad because, how could I have died? I was just 14. I'm not supposed to die yet because people don't die until they're very old. And to me, it was a big shock, but at the same time, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. But I saw myself laying there, and I was just lifeless. I was just laying there. So all of a sudden, I thought, oh my goodness, I don't think I can enter heaven because I didn't do everything according to the Bible. I didn't keep all 10 commandments. And I've always heard pastors saying, when you die, if you die today, are you ready to go? And I thought, I'm not ready to go yet. And I was so scared. And all of a sudden, everything disappeared. The chapel and everything disappeared. And everything around me was just white. And the first thing I thought of was kneeling down to pray to God because I thought, I really can't go to hell. I really don't want to go to hell. And my heart was so scared because I knew I was going to hell. And so I knelt down and I prayed to God deeply. And I said, it was a time that I prayed the hardest. I've never prayed so hard in my life. I prayed to God saying, please just give me one more chance and I will work for you and I will I will try my best to do anything I can to enter heaven. Please just give me one more time. And I remember at that time, even though it was a while ago, that there was nothing else so important, and nothing else that I wanted more than just another time on earth to change myself. Because when you die, it's eternal. It doesn't matter anything that happened on earth. It's just, you don't want anything else. All you want is one more chance to get up and to have a chance to work for God. So in that prayer, I cried so much. I mean, I was from a third-person point of view, so I can see myself kneeling there and bowing my head and humbly asking God to please just give me another chance. And at that time, I saw a scroll fall in front of my face, and I knew that was the Book of Life. And it was really, it was like a scroll, and then you can see the names like that, and it scrolls up and scrolls down like that. And three times it scrolled, and I was looking anxiously for my name to see maybe God had mercy on me, like he did the robber or something like that. And I looked really anxiously, but I quit. I didn't see my name there. And at that moment, I lost all hope, because I knew if my name's not in the Book of Life, then that means I really am going to hell. And this, can we turn to Luke chapter 13 for a moment? Verse 6 to 9. It says, "He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?' Verse 8. But he answered and said to him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down.'" And I'm just like this worker begging God, please, just one more chance, just one more time to really work for you. And thank God that he's merciful. At that moment, I heard my mom say, wake up, because it was Sunday morning and we have morning prayers in Dallas on Sundays. And I just shook up, and I woke up, and I was really wide awake. And my mom was like, "What's wrong?" Because she can see in my eyes that, you know, something went wrong. And I told her the dream, and I was crying. And I just had this feeling that God really did give me a second chance. He really listened to my prayer. I really, really thank God for that. I'd like to backtrack a little. I was baptized when I was 10. My dad didn't allow us to baptize until we were 13, because he thinks that by then we should be able to know, like, which religion we want, and if, you know, we're mature enough to decide for ourselves. But at that time, my sister was 13, because she is 3 years older than I am. She got the Holy Spirit in the spiritual convocation in 1992. And so my mom called my dad in Taiwan and said, "You know, your oldest daughter got the Holy Spirit. Do you want to let her baptize?" And usually every year he says no, you know, let them decide for themselves. But every year we will want to get baptized, but he thinks that we're too young to know what we want. So at that year, surprisingly, he just said okay, and then my mom said okay, and she hung up the phone before he could say, "Oh, you know, like, let me think, wait, I didn't just say that." So she just hung up the phone, and she was really happy, and so my sister could get baptized. And at that time, my mom thought, well, since your sister's getting baptized, I don't think your dad would oppose if you also just kind of, just follow her, and, like, both of you get baptized, even though I didn't get the Holy Spirit. And so in 92, we both got baptized along with Ann and Wang and Ann's family. And I remember that December, we baptized in December, and even though Dallas is pretty hot, but that winter, it was really cold, and the winds were really, it blew really hard, it was really strong. And I remember everybody was freezing, and everybody's like, you know, hugging themselves because it was so cold, and the water was really cold too. And I remember going down, but everything was just warm. Like, I didn't feel cold at all. And I went down, I got baptized, and I came up, and this brother asked me, he's like shivering, giving me a towel. He's like, are you cold? I'm just standing there like, no, it's really warm. And I've always remembered that. And also, a year later, I got the Holy Spirit. And after that, okay, so I kind of backtracked a little. That was when I was about 11. So when I was 14, I had the dream. And after that, everything was really successful in my life, like school and everything. And when I was in ninth grade, I started to think about college because I thought, oh, college is really important. I mean, it determines what type of job you get and like how much you get paid and your basically your future. And so I've always thought that it was really important, and my parents really emphasized on education. So, and so I've always studied really hard. In ninth grade, I studied really, really hard. And I remember getting mad for getting like a 92 on the report card. I was just, you know, I was really like trying really hard to get good grades. And, but I always thought that it was because I tried hard and I put in the effort. It was my work that let me be, to have good grades like that. And so when I went to, you know, high school, I thought, oh, same thing, study hard, you stay up late at night studying for tests, and you'll do fine in school. But in 10th grade, my grades, like, most of it was okay, but I remember Algebra 2, it was just, I didn't like the teacher, but that wasn't it. She had white hair, and, like, she was really mean. Like, whenever she's wrong, she never admits it. Like, it's just, we all didn't like her very much. But her class was really hard. Like, she grades really hard. And so during that year, I got a B in math. And I was like, oh, you know, it was like worst thing that has happened. And I didn't know how to handle it. And I was like really like sad about it. And this other person also got like a B. And he was like number 4 in school. So he's like, you know, maybe we should drop this and take it over again so we can get a better grade. But like, thank God I didn't do that. I just hung on to math. But that time, it was really strange to me because I've never had trouble in math or anything, and I just thought, that's really strange. How come I'm having trouble in algebra too, you know? And so I thought about it, and I thought, oh, maybe it's because I've always thought that I've been so proud that I've always thought it's by my own efforts that I can get good grades. But everything is given by God, and He gives us the knowledge and the wisdom to, you know, to do well in school. So I repented. And then so next year in 11th grade, all my grades were fine again. Also, because I looked so heavily on college and stuff, in my junior year, I hardly went to Wednesday night Bible study because I thought that God would understand because it was a week night and that I needed to study because junior year is really hard. But that year, yeah, so I just didn't go to Wednesday night Bible studies. And I thought, God will understand because I've always gone to Friday night. I've always gone to Saturday. And I've always, you know, attended Sunday morning services. So God wouldn't mind. But God wasn't happy with that. And He taught me a great lesson that on my junior year, I've always gone to the counseling office because I thought that I can gather all the materials and I can like research on college and see which college is the best for me. But God wanted to teach me that His will is more important than my will. So my junior year, I really wanted to go to the University of Illinois because I wanted to do engineering. And that was a really good school. Can I have some water? Because it was a really good engineering school. And I didn't ask for God's will at all. I just thought, I researched and I know exactly what I want. But that was not God's will. And I also applied to the University of Texas. But it wasn't a school I wanted to go to because huge headache. I can give this testimony another day.